Welcome to Innovation. I'm Kara Hetland, and joining me now is John and Philip Hillard. They're joining me from the Black Hills Surgical Hospital Studios in Rapid City. John and Philip, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And you're both students at South Dakota School of Mines, correct?
Yes.
What? Yep. Tell me what year you're in.
So I'm a graduating senior.
And I'm, junior year. We're both mechanical engineering.
Okay, so say your names when you speak.
Oh, sorry. I'm okay. I'm John Hillard.
Okay. I'm Phil. Sorry.
Okay, that's okay. And so you're into electric paramotors. So talk a little bit first about growing up together and having a lot of model airplanes.
So when we were really young, we loved anything that flew. My grandfather was in the Marine Corps, and he flew helicopters. Our dad was in the Navy. We come from a family of pilots, and we loved to tinker, and we built balsa wood airplanes and paper airplanes constantly, and we eventually got into remote control airplanes as well.
Yeah, I would walk into the basement, and Phil would have a bunch of parts out, and he'd show me how to solder and super glue my fingers together and then get them unstuck, and then how to... how to turn that into making airplanes. And and so that's kind of how our passion for building flying stuff kind of blossomed.
Okay, so this is long before, and then you both go to School of Mines, and take me from there. Paint me that picture.
Yeah, we started at the School of Mines, and we kind of both know we wanted to go to the school for a while. as time went on and we got more connected, the school really helped us with some resources, and there's a lot of professors have been extremely helpful and really encouraging with this project. So, we got into the sport of paragliding and paramotoring almost 10 years ago now, and we've advanced, and the electric paramotor that we're building now is kind of the culmination of all the desires that we've kind of had. The things that we've found that the sport is lacking, and kind of what we're doing is we're bringing innovations into the world that just haven't existed yet. So,
and para flying?
Paragliding is just flying without any power. So there's no motor on your back. It's just gliding. And then paramotoring is when you actually have a motor on your back and a throttle in your hand, and you're able to sustain flight that way.
So you're kind of strapped on these wings and you jump, right?
So it's...
Is that oversimplifying it?
Oh, that's pretty close.
Well, a lot of people think it's like skydiving where you like jump off of something, but paragliding's more like it's a parachute. You know, when you look at it, it looks like a parachute, so it's above you. There's lines that connect you to it, but it's a glider, so it's more like a wing, big, like long, like kind of slender wing. It's like really graceful. It's low speed. And so traditionally, like with paragliding, you basically find a big hill and you like you run down it until the wing lifts above you and then carries you off the hill. But with a paramotor, all you need is just a nice flat space, so we can, and around here in South Dakota, there's plenty of that. So that's why we fly with a paramotor.
Okay, so the difference, that's a dumb question, difference between a gas-powered and electric-powered, but what difference does it, is it lighter? Is it, what does it do? How long does it last?
Yeah, great question. So basically, the main benefits are that it's way simple. So you'll only have just a couple moving parts. And then we can get roughly around 25 to 30 minutes of flight time on our battery. It's lighter than our gas unit. It's about 40 pounds. So it's a 40-pound backpack that you have to wear when you're taking off. But when you're in flight, the wing carries that weight off of you. So you're kind of just sitting in a chair.
That's right. Part of the vision of this project is that we really want to open up this sport to more people, because actually flying these paramotors, it doesn't take a high level of skill. I mean, you do need proper training and you do need to keep safety in mind, but it's not terribly difficult. once once you get a little bit of experience. So to bring an electric paramotor kind of into the market would be great, and it would bring so many more people into this sport, because you know you don't have to worry about you know, a carburation or any of the problems with two-stroke units, any internal combustion engine problems. There's no fuel to premix. There's no idles to tweak. I mean, John and I have spent, you know, countless time in the field with screwdrivers trying to get our motors running correctly. And you know, John had the great idea one day. He's like, you know what, we should really go electric. And so that really solves a lot of those problems. You know, we've got a family member that was just having a heck of a time with his gas lawnmowers. And he went and got an electric lawnmower, solved all of his problems. Never had to worry about any kind of fuel combustion related issues ever again. And so I think that really, we really want to break down the barriers to entry of the sport and open it up for more people.
Now, you keep calling it a sport. So are there organized activities around this? Is this more of a small group?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's this really cool, like, long distance races where guys will go, gosh, I don't even know where they start, where they end, but they'll fly for, you know, days at a time, not continuously, but they do long distance racing. And then there's like pylon racing where they'll do like laps around basically a racetrack with like inflatable points, kind of like airplane racing.
It really is more, you know, it is a sport, but it's really just recreation. You know, it's for the first time we're seeing people have the ability to, you know, for the price of and just an average used motorcycle. I mean, you can have your own aircraft that packs down. It's roughly the size of two backpacks. And on the weekend, you can just throw it in your car and go have a great little flying session in the morning before work.
Okay, so how high do you go?
Really as high as you want. Generally, we fly around 1,000 or 2,000 feet. By that time, your views are just spectacular, and it is more fun to fly a little bit lower to the ground. And really, John and I just like to sightsee. Sometimes we get some dual footage with GoPros and DJI drones that we have, and you know, we've just had a lot of fun with it.
And how fast does it go?
They fly around 25 miles an hour. So, you know, your airspeed is generally, you know, it's different than your ground speed. So you want to be landing into the wind to minimize your ground speed. And, but overall, it's, the sport's extremely safe compared to most sports.
You can tell I'm really tempted to want to come out and try this with you, right?
I hope so.
My husband's probably listening and shaking his head saying no. So I am, I'm curious, I mean, are there regulations, are FAA regulations with this that you can't be in certain areas?
Yeah, so it falls in the ultralight category. It's an aircraft that's under 254 pounds minus fuel, and that's been a little point of contention because it's battery powered. We really don't know exactly how that fits in the rules with fuel, but since we are so far away from that 254 pound mark, we do know we're solidly in the Part 103 ultralight category. And so really that only comes with a few rules. You're not allowed to fly over heavily populated areas. You know, you wouldn't be able to legally fly over downtown Rapid City or over the mall or something like that. And you are required to fly after sunrise and before sunset. And there's no flying at night. You do have to be careful of restricted airspace. And, you know, beyond those rules, you really have a lot of freedom. So...
Where's your favorite place to fly? Glide.
Which? Yeah, they're interchangeable.
Okay.
Man, the prairie of South Dakota is really cool. Once, you know, when you're down on it, it's flat. But when you get above it, it's actually amazing how, I don't know, how it all looks when you're just a little bit higher. It's really pretty, especially at sunset. It's awesome. So
we recently had a maiden flight on one of our newest versions of our electric paramotor. and John ended up flying it out at 3 Victor Zero, the airport, right next to the Game Lodge in Custer State Park. And the views from that flying spot were just awesome, according to John.
Yeah, actually, I take it back. That was prettier than the Prairie. That was awesome. The Buffalo were a little scary to, yeah, wouldn't want to land there, but.
So talk a little bit about some of the lessons you learned in the lab here as you put this together. I mean, you obviously didn't have success the first time around. So talk a little bit about some of the lessons that you learned and how that helped you with your final product.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of it, you know, we do iterative design is what we like to call it. And it's basically where you get as close as you possibly can. You know, you find something that you want design-wise. You get as close as you can, and then you test it. And it breaks, and then you make another one. And then eventually, you know, you start working towards getting an idea of a finished product. So a lot of the time that we spend in the lab is bench testing stuff. So, you know, we'll try a new configuration of a battery or a motor controller, and we have a cart that we test it on, and we'll basically run it until it fails and then learn from that. So yeah, lots of trial and error, definitely. And luckily at the School of Mines, we have a lot of, you know, you can go a couple of doors down and say, you know, hey, you're an expert on this, we're having this problem, and you can get expert advice from, you know, a seasoned, you know, professional. And then that's pretty rare, you know. So luckily, you know, at Mines, we've been able to, you know, learn a lot pretty quickly.
So then as a graduating senior, going to step out into the world and just start a business, or do you plan to work somewhere and gain some more experience before? And I couldn't tell which one, Philip or John.
I'm Phil.
Okay. So Phil, as a graduating senior, what are your plans?
Well, you know, my plan is to survive finals and graduate. you know, we would love to.
You just got to glide in. It's just coasting into the final, right?
That's right. I mean, you know, fingers interlocked, hands behind your head, no problem. But we'd love to. You know, we're going to continue to work on this project, and really, it's been something that's just kind of come out of our own passion for flying. And you know, as we gained experience, and as we kind of our flight hours kind of started to accrue, you start to learn kind of what you want and what's not available to you, and some of the shortcomings of the technology that's on the market today. And we just want to advance that, and kind of, you know, like I said before, our biggest driving factor is just to bring aviation to more people and to put it within reach of a greater audience, kind of. So I mean, you know, I am looking at career options. At the time, I'm just focused on graduating.
And your major is what?
Mechanical engineering.
Okay.
So we've got
options.
We've got a few options. We've got a couple courses to wrap up in a senior design project to make sure that we get finished correctly. But you know, our plan is just to, whenever we can in our spare time, continue to work on our electric paramotor.
And is this part of your senior design project, or is this just on the side between the two of you?
It's not part of my senior design project, but with a little luck, it will be part of John's senior design project in the future.
I'm working on it with a few professors to try to make it my senior design. I think that'd be really cool.
Okay. And you're electrical engineering too, or
mechanical
engineering?
It's kind
too?
Of like a Sorry. Love affair, though. It's funny. most of my time is spent technically doing electrical engineering.
Ah? John and I have kind of discovered that we actually have a passion for electrical engineering too, and this project has kind of highlighted that.
All right. Well, so you're both speaking at as part of the School of Mines Steam Cafe series at Hay Camp Brewing on November 20th at 6:00, talking more about your electric paramotor. I really want to meet the two of you and have a lesson.
Okay, absolutely. That sounds great. Anytime.
I will be in touch. So, John and Philip Hillard, I wish you the best of luck. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having us.
That was awesome.